Welcome to Destiny by Divine Radio, where we bring all that is into everything we do. Hi, I'm Jules Kennedy. It has been my experience that the more we focus on the divine, whatever that means to you, because everyone has a different idea of what divine means to them, and we keep that focus, we begin to align our human life with that of our higher wisdom or our soul purpose. So, Destiny by Divine is a process of realizing that we each have a divine purpose, figuring out what that is at each given moment, and following the flow of that purpose. But often, you probably recognize this, that figuring out process, the divine process, the human process, can lead us into more confusion. But being in alignment with the confusion is just as important as being action-oriented. So in my perception, in my experience, allowing and surrendering can be just as beneficial to a life of soul purposing. And we'll talk about that in later programs. But I feel that soul is in everything that we do, and that sounds pretty good. So this program and the work that I do is all about bringing the divine into everything that we do. Tonight we're going to have a special guest, and that is Rajkumari Neoji. Rajkumari is a leadership consultant helping people and organizations shift into the new paradigm and consciousness. A lot is going on. Things are moving pretty fast. Organizations and individuals need to move and change and be aware of changes and willing to make those changes. And Rajkumari is such a blessing in my life, and I wanted to bring her to you. We'll be with Rajkumari in about 10 to 15 minutes. Again, I'm Jules Kennedy, and I've been doing psychic intuitive advising for about 30 years, along with a lot of other professional activities. But I am currently a graduate student in the Transformative Leadership Master of Arts program at California Institute of Integral Studies. My soul purpose, my divine in this physical reality, in general, is to bring the message of otherworldly beings into form and help humanity integrate the knowledge from this otherworldly source. We are not alone in the universe, and we can access higher wisdom from sources which seem outside of ourselves, but we can bring them in through processes of channeling, automatic writing, music, the arts, and even through the sciences. I'm a channel, which means I go into semi-trance, which is an altered state of consciousness, and I allow other streams of consciousness to come through. I either record the messages on tape or on the computer, I type them, or I write them. And I've got a lot of them recorded. Many of them will be up on the website, JulesKennedy.com, shortly. My process. Back in 1993, I began compiling all of the information that I was receiving in channeled form. And I wrote my first book called Dimensional Ascension. That book was out in 1999, I believe, but is currently being revised and another publisher taking it over. So it'll be out sometime this spring again, and that's Dimensional Ascension. And I've written many other books through the channeling process since that time. I've been writing and channeling and doing readings, psychic advising, for, like I said, up to 30 years. I've not really had the opportunity to put a lot of this information out there in form, and now I'm taking that time because my guides are very insistent that now is the time to bring some of these messages to the planet, to humanity. Many folks will be perplexed by the question, what is my purpose, and how can I act upon that purpose? I get that question all the time. But it really isn't as simple as it sounds, and yet it is as simple as it sounds. This leads me to a saying that my guides always bring up when I am stressed and feeling confused. Life is simply very simple. We often make life much more complicated than it needs to be, and I'm, you know, like the queen of confusion sometimes. In a bit, we'll be playing a channeling for you of the Pleiadians that I've done, and it will explain their version of what simply very simple means. The Pleiadians are a very complex and diverse group of beings that come to us via a channel from a star system called the Pleiades in what we know to be the constellation of Taurus. I was introduced to the Pleiadians by a friend who actually told me he was a Pleiadian in human form. Thank you, Michael. After I had met this friend, I had an amazing experience that I still can't explain to this day, and this led me to channeling sessions with the Pleiadians. There are lots of other people out there who do channel the Pleiadians. Barbara Marciniak is one of them, and she was like the Bringers of the Dawn book, her Bringers of the Dawn, kind of showed me that my channeling sessions with the Pleiadians were not, I wasn't alone. That's basically what I found out. And the messages are the same, but a little bit different, but the vibration and the wisdom that the Pleiadians bring to us is amazing. That's just one source that I channel. But tonight we're focusing on simply very simple, and the Pleiadians bring that to me. So we're going to discuss that a little bit, and then we'll play the channel clip for you, and then we'll have Raj Kumari come on. Let me read to you right now a little piece that the Pleiadians have brought to us. It's on the topic of love, and here they are. We are your Pleiadian brothers. We are manifest in human form, but fourth-dimensionally speaking. You can see us in your mind's eye, but you cannot yet see us in your manifest physical world. However, we do carry a much similar etheric body to yours. It is our calling to work with the energies of love in your fourth-dimensional spaces in order that you may move into the most pure, the most beneficial love for that of your planet. When we speak of love, we speak of something that is much grander than what you are accustomed to when you think of love on your planet. For many of you love, but you do not understand the complexity and yet the simplicity of the energy of love. You see, love is complete and love is very big, but it is also very small. It is a paradox. It contains polarities. It is not opposite, however, to your definition of hate, but it is inclusive. When you feel as if you hate someone or you hate something, you actually are very passionate in your hate. If you can examine hate, you may recognize it to be anger, jealousy, rage, all very passionate emotions. Hate, unexamined, can be very destructive. But it may be tempered over time with understanding love and compassion, and certainly the removal of the objects that inspire the hatred in the first place. This is just a little sample of what is in the Dimensional Ascension book, and it tells us a little bit about the Pleiadians as I channel them. I'm Jules Kennedy, and I can be reached on the BBS Radio Network through the Destiny by Divine page or through JulesKennedy.com. Or you can call 1-877-477-9401. And I do readings twice a month on a scheduled basis. I also teach lightwork classes online. So for information about those classes and others, please contact me. I will be talking about lightwork in a later broadcast. I do a lot of things with many different people, and I'm very flexible. My schedule isn't, but I'm very flexible in helping people bring this destiny in, of divine energy into their lives. So let's listen to a recent channeling of the Pleiadians as I brought through their message. They're kind of slow when they come through because it is my thought process trying to reach what they are saying. And so my interpretation comes through a little bit more slowly. And after the clip, we'll bring in our guest, Rajkumari Neoji. And I'm really, really excited about this because he is just a beautiful, beautiful person. And I just can't wait. So if you have questions for Rajkumari or myself, please write them down. And at the end of the program, we'll give you time to call in and ask those questions. Now, on to our clip.
Life is simply very simple. We are Pleiadians. We speak to you about the simplicity at which you should be living your life. Too many heartaches, too many wrong turns, too many disappointments when you set your sights on one thing and receive something else. You become heartbroken, disappointed. You feel like a failure. You stop. You don't try. You don't listen. You don't move forward with the grace that we would like to see you working within. If you are working from a state of grace, those disappointments, wrong turns, and heartbreaks will seldom happen. But if they do, they are short-lived because you know it is not simple to live a life being disappointed and shutting down. To be in truth, in the goodness that you are, remember this motto, life is simply very simple. When life becomes complicated, stop and look and listen. In a moment of silent meditation, contemplation, you will see that there is no need for chaos. There is no need to stop and start again. If you are in your flow, so to speak, being in your flow might mean that you have to shut the world off for a time. The length of time would be up to you. Your flow can be very simple. Do not try to force things to happen. If you are putting effort into something and it is not working for you, stop and look and listen. Perhaps there is another way to get there. Perhaps you are out of sync with what might be divine timing. You can force things to happen if that is what your internal messengers are telling you to do. Sometimes things become rigidified, and yes, force is necessary on the front end to break them down. But you will know because you will have lots of help beyond yourself in breaking that down. The force will seem effortless when you have help. If you feel as though you're not receiving that help, then it is most likely a message that you must stop and wait for correct timing or change the angle at which you are traveling. Or perhaps even letting go of the certain process you are trying to achieve. Backing away, allowing and observing with an additional focus of light and prayer is, yes, the best way to handle many situations. Some situations will dissolve completely, and there will be no need to address them. Some situations just require adjustment. Some require a change of focus, attitude, or interpretation. Some require the allowance on your part to learn and understand what the occurrence is trying to teach you. Yes, we have lessons. Even we, the Pleiadians, learn our lessons still. We
We
work
work
with
with
you
you
because
because
we have learned much from watching your process as we have been through our own process similar. We observe now to understand the workings of such lessons from a more ethereal position. They are still lessons, and we are still learning that life is simply very simple.
Okay, that was just a sample of things to come, and I will have more channeled material on the broadcast in days to come. I'm posting MP3s available at the website soon, and that's JulesKennedy.com. Now, I'd like to invite our very special guest to the program. I'm so excited. Raj Kumari Neoji is going to talk about a recent trip to Southeast Asia and some of the insights that were discovered there. And Raj Kumari is going to talk about the work that he's doing now as a consultant, a corporate facilitator, social entrepreneur, and a transformative leadership coach. Welcome, Raj Kumari.
Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm very honored to have you on our program.
It's very
Now,
mutual.
Can you tell me a little bit about yourself and your work as a transformative leader? I know that's a big one, and we've had discussions, but what is your take on your transformation process in becoming a leader and how you take that into organizations and work with, personal clients with what you do? Just explain it to me.
Right. No, that's a very, very broad question, so I'll try to distill it down a little bit. I think that ever since I was very young, I had something that I've a phrase that I like to use very, very often, which is ferocious curiosity. And I'm lucky enough to be biracial, so I have an Indian father and a French Canadian mother. So I have the beautiful perspectives of different cultures and lenses with which to look through. And so because of this ferocious curiosity, I somehow decided, I don't even know at what age, that I would become my own petri dish and start experimenting and testing life through me, given all of the trials and tribulations I went through in my formative years. And, as an adult, I became incredibly passionate about the human experience because of my human experience. And why did this happen to me? What caused this to occur? And so I have, over the course of decades, brought all of this into the work that I do as a consultant for organizations. And that curiosity has only increased exponentially over time. How do teams engage or disengage? What causes conflict? Why do organizations innovate? How do they struggle? How do they fail? How do they collapse? And if we look at, the source of every organization, obviously there are human beings within them. And so the curiosity then becomes, what is the experience of the human being that allows the collective to unfold and then manifest as an organization, an enterprise, a company, and have them move in the trajectory that they're moving in? So what I do is I take all of the learnings that I myself have experienced, and I enjoy taking very complex situations and crafting and culling it down into a very simple algorithm for the human experience. And one of the things that I'm doing right now is working with individuals to, quote unquote, restart their life, if you will. So a very simple phrase that I use when people say, well, what do you do? I catalyze fear into flow. So that's the simplest, most distilled algorithm I can come up with, given all the different levels of modalities, models, and maps from
Okay.
which I draw.
So, as a client, and I've been privy to working with you in some situations, you say taking fear, moving fear into flow. Can you explain, like, maybe a process that you might do, in a private session or group session? What might work to help move that? Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not sure I would take this into a group session so much,
Okay.
but certainly brought this into, in essence, every single session I do to some varying degree, depending upon what issue we're working on. So moving and catalyzing fear into flow. Wherever one is stuck in their past, one is experiencing some level of fear.
Okay.
And typically, we have to kind of excavate that fear because we want to be able to transform it into flow. And the technique that I use to really kind of get to the source or the core of that fear is called ICI, intercommunication integration. And it's really about talking to the fear at a younger version of the client's self. So, for example, if a particular client was, well, here, I'll just use myself, that'll be the easiest. I, at 4 years old, my parents were divorced. So I have issues of abandonment. And when I am in a relationship, I am currently in a romantic relationship, when I feel that my partner isn't coming forward in the way that I'd like, those fears of abandonment get instantaneously triggered. And so what I do using this technique is immediately move into working with that four-year-old. And there's a very specific way that we do that. We use a lot of Brené Brown's work around shame. We also bring in Bert Hellinger's work around family constellations, and absolutely a lot of the work around unconscious bias that the three brains, many of you know around neuroscience, allows us to navigate our world.
Okay. Okay. Wow. That's a lot to take in. It's a lot to take in. So I hope you will join us on other broadcasts so that we can explore that as itself thoroughly, because I'm sure we're going to have lots of questions.
It would be great to have a caller call in, then we could do a live on the fly demo.
That would be great, and we'll set that up. We'll set that up, because that is exciting to me, and I think that is such. And I've worked with you in this capacity, and it has really changed my world, my perceptions of where I'm going. It's helped me release a lot of fear. And a lot of that fear was like lodged into the shame that I didn't even know was there. So it's amazing work that you're doing. Amazing.
Yeah.
And would
we
you,
can get,
would you
we, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say we can get to the core. What's crazy about this is that we can get to the core of something that's been stuck within less than 20 minutes, and we can start moving it immediately. And what that does is it actually rewires the brain. Most of you know that we have neuroplasticity for our brain. It means that you can rewire it on the fly using language and other means of healing. And so this is one way to recreate, retransform the neural pathways as well. It's quite remarkable.
Yes, it is. Can you share with our listenership how they might get in contact with you? Your information's on the page, the Destiny by Design page on the BBSRadio.com program, but do you have an email address or another way of contacting you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think going through the website is the best way. That gives everyone a taste of what I do. I'm not for everyone. I work very intensely, very deeply, and very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
I really work to excavate the fear and allow for results to happen expeditiously. So
okay.
Go to the website. It's www.argien.com, Argien, and you can have all the information and how to contact me there.
Okay. So now I want to know, because you just spent, about a month and a half ago, you came back from a fabulous journey to Southeast Asia. Fabulous in the way of you brought up a lot of insight and processed a lot while you were traveling. And I want to know, you shared with me some things that came up for you, and I see them operating in your everyday life. Mm-hmm. And I want to know what you learned. I want to know some things about your travels, but I also want to know what you learned in those travels about building and nurturing relationships.
Interesting. Well, the first thing I learned is that the food in Thailand is incredible, and I miss it every day.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. When I got back from my trip, the phrase that popped out of me a week later was, I had unbuilt myself. So when you say building, it's interesting. I felt that I really unbuilt myself, and I think that's really the core of transformative leadership and how to be an inspiring leader in the world is really to have the flexibility, the chameleonness, that's even a word, to become what you need to be for the people you're working with, whether it's organizations or individuals. So really allowing yourself the fluidity of being in the moment. You know, every client that I work with, I don't go in with an agenda. I never do. I bring tools and I bring my toolbox, but I allow the client to speak to me, and then whatever comes forth just, you know, is brought by the client. And I think this trip really allowed me to unbuild myself to such a point that I have realized that, I am no one and nothing, so that I can be everything for the client, whatever the client
Wow.
needs. And that has, for me, really been kind of the epitome of this trip, because coming from Silicon Valley, where I live and work, and having to be an SME, which is a subject matter expert, all the time, I have to always be right. I have to show everyone that I know what I'm talking about. And when I got to Asia, that didn't work very well for me. I just tried to be right all the time. There's an example that I wrote about in a leadership article about being at the Cambodia-Thailand border, and no one speaks English there. Or they do and didn't want to speak with me, but, I was really adamant that I needed help, and I was very abrasive in the way that I was trying to get that help, and I was absolutely not in relationship with my experience. And because I was trying to, quote-unquote, be right, I was hitting walls. And so the experience that I learned daily for the last 4 weeks, I was there for 7 weeks, the last 4 weeks was, how does one have the experience being in the moment and being in complete relationship with that moment?
Wow.
What does that even mean?
I know. And was it, okay, once you experienced that and were there in that moment on your trip, was it difficult when you returned back to Silicon Valley and your day-to-day? How difficult, that had to be really difficult to maintain that presence in your everyday world. And is it challenging, and go deeper?
Yeah, it's a great point. It took me weeks to acclimate back to Silicon Valley. I was so slow. People were irritated by me. And interestingly enough, I unconsciously sped up to the point where I am absolutely chagrined to say this. But I had traveled to a client site over the weekend, and I had a few minutes before being with the client, and I was hungry. I hadn't yet eaten, so I went. Oh, I'm so embarrassed. I went to go get some food, and I ordered the food. The food had been made. I was standing there. I could see that my plate was there, and the service person was busy taking someone else's order, and I had the gall to walk up to her and say, "May I please have my plate?" She was actually in the middle of another transaction, and I was just horrified that popped out of me. And I could see that, yes, I was tired, yes, I had a long week, etc. But now I understand that I was absolutely not in relationship. I was absolutely trying to be right. There was the food, it was getting cold, it was cold out, the door was open. They were just chit-chatting about something, and I thought, well, if they could just chit-chat about something, of course, you can just pick up the plate and hand it to me. It's not a big deal. And the whole thing just shifted, and her attitude toward me changed. You could tell she didn't like me very much anymore. The guy looked at me like, what the hell do you think you're doing? It was just, and I just was so embarrassed this happened, and later I did go up to apologize to her, but she, didn't really
yeah.
much of an impact. And I was just really sad that happened, and that it just shows that even for someone who could write an article and have the 7 week experience, you still have to be so aware, so ferociously curious about oneself and how they're choosing to show up in the moment, so that they can be in relationship with that one.
Yeah, and at all times. That's the goal. Maybe not the goal, but that's, yeah. Thank you for sharing that. What I perceived when I read your article, or what came to me, was that it's very important to consider the other person and where they might be coming from. But it's also important to realize that others have perceptions and preconceived notions and opinions about where we are coming from. And if we can do it in harmony and, give space to that relationship, it can work. For instance, if you maybe would have stepped back and said, okay, she might be coming from a place of, you know, being, doing her job and just being, you know, a little bit flighty in the moment or whatever, but also she could perceive you as needing your food. If we both could do that and it became much more intuitive, we would have a relationship flow at more, in more moments.
Right.
A lot of people aren't in that intuitive space, but
right.
Friends can.
I mean, she was clearly in relationship with this guy. I mean, you know, and I completely stepped over that in the level of intuition and arrogance, which is very interesting. Yeah, it is. You know, I think that what we all need to do is slow down. And you talk about creating space. Creating that capaciousness is so important. And you know, in the Matrix, you know, I talk about how, you know, he doesn't stop the bullets. Neo doesn't stop the bullets in the first one at the end of the film. He actually slows down time so much so that he can be in relationship with the bullets, so that once he's in relationship with the bullets, he can then choose to have a different experience.
Mm.
And that's where he's able to pick up the bullet and it'll fall. You know, that's what we're trying to do as a collective, is slow ourselves down enough so that we can have the awareness of the moment, to stay in relationship with that moment, and then at that choice point, we can actually begin to have a decision to choose differently. And I think that's where we need to be at all times, as often as we possibly can.
Right. Wow. You are amazing, and this is just an incredible learning experience for myself, and I hope for others listening. I don't know what our listenership is. This is our first program. But I'd like to ask you more about your travel. Do you feel that you were in somewhat of an altered space within yourself when you were in Asia, in Thailand, on the island? Can you speak
to
that?
I took myself on this trip to slow down and ultimately to stop. And I really wanted to explore movement and energy at a global level. And what my role as a being is from within the collective. And it was a very interesting experience. You know, I was in Cambodia, and those of you who've been, there's people who drive these little taxis called tuk-tuks around, and they're always trying to kind of they're always yelling at you to get your attention to come and rent them, to take you somewhere. And after a while, it got really, really bothersome for me. And so I started playing a little bit with energy and really looking at the ability to cloak myself energetically so that I'm not seen when I don't want to be. And amazingly, it worked. You know, I'm pretty new to this play. I would say I'm kind of in kindergarten or first grade playing around here. And, you know, I wasn't completely invisible to them, but I would do these, you know, as I said earlier in the program, I'm a Petri dish. I'm my own Petri dish. So let's say that I was getting yelled at, called out to 10 times in a 2-block distance. I would go back and walk that same block with a cloak, the energetic cloak, and it would be mitigated considerably. And so just kind of playing around. I know I was never able to get to zero.
I don't know if it's really a good idea to get to zero when you're not ready for it. Because I've
nicely
had that experience.
Nicely said. Yeah.
Yes.
Nicely said. Very, very nicely said. So, So yeah, so just playing around with energies and with that capacity and just really kind of seeing, where is it that I want to be? Where is it that we all want to be in relationship to others? And how do we play with that? Whether it's our gender or our role or the way we're loved or the way we're seen, the way we're held, how are we approached or not approached? And to really begin to allow ourselves to have our own proper creational authority.
Right. That's really intelligent and aware. You are becoming very aware. I just wonder if we could afford more travels through, I'm just going to throw this out here, through your experience, because not all of us can physically travel. But we can travel within the consciousness. And if there were a way, and you're doing this now in your work, but if there were a way to bring that experience of being cloaked into a program or part of what you do with clients when it's time for it, do you do that work with clients?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's not just about cloaking, it's also about being seen or being heard or being supported or
Exactly.
held or loved, right? And so these are all, if we distill these even further down to even a more basic, a basic emotion, we could say that there's rights to existence, rights to belonging, rights to being loved. I mean, these are really basic rights. And so absolutely, can we travel to those places? And I would like to term that as maneuvers of consciousness, right?
Good.
If we're able to travel to a younger version of ourselves and integrate that version who has either been banished, relegated, or dissociated, and have the experience of integration at a core level, would that not be traveling to a different world and having those moves of consciousness? Similarly, why not travel in the future to the 80-year-old self and download information that that 80-year-old self of you already knows that you may not know yet? And so that also would be traveling to another dimension or having yet a different maneuver of consciousness, if you will.
Yes, and if a person's open to parallel lives or past lives or just the idea that it's possible to visit other places in time and space and dimension. Oh, that's incredible work you're doing.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Doug if we have any callers, any
Okay.
questions. We will continue. This is so interesting, Rajkumari. I would like to ask you, if you don't mind, talking about in your travels, you shared with me a story in about what I perceived as possible tragedy. It could have been possible tragedy for you, and through the process of light and visualization and whatever you might want to call it, you kind of transformed a couple of experiences before you got to those experiences, correct?
That is correct.
You
Do you
know,
have one specifically? You can just go ahead and say it.
when you were on the plane and you were going to fly into
The hurricane.
where were, yes, and also the protesting. Those were a couple of phenomenal experiences. Would you mind sharing those?
I would.
If you don't, if you're not open to it, we'll move on.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to share what I feel comfortable sharing. I think what you're referring to can be looked through from a lens of, again, being in relationship to an event or an experience. And Actually, I'm going to refrain from talking about the specificities of the events, but
Okay.
what I really gleaned from all of those experiences was the more that one is able to become part of the situation, the less they are themselves, the more they become part of the experience, the more they can impact that experience.
Okay.
It's almost about dissolving yourself to become one with whatever it is, God, the source, the universe, doesn't really matter what you call it. But if one is able to allow themselves to merge or blend or fuse with the moment, and one no longer has an agenda, and therefore once the agenda has dissolved, now there is greater space to create the experience you want.
Yes. So it's all coming from within.
Right.
And like the Pleiadians are saying that dimensions are going to come crashing into each other. And if we're aware and one with the energy, the crash or the impact isn't going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can transform or we transcend it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Because what I experienced when you were sharing your experiences with me is like this gasp within myself of being aware of you and how it must have felt. That's my perception. I was like, oh my God, this is going to happen. I have to be ready for it. And then completely dissolving yourself and changing the whole experience.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I was about to fly. Well, I was flying back to Bangkok, and there was a protest, and the guy that I was meeting for dinner there, this was my penultimate night of my trip, so I was flying home the next day. You know, he said this is going to be the worst violent protest in the history of Thailand, and your hotel is right in the midst of it, and you know, you should probably get another hotel by the airport. And so I was completely panicking. I was in Laos, and I don't know anybody, and there was no taxis going into the city, and so I just ended up doing a lot of visualizations while on the plane. And by the time I landed, it was 2.5 hours, 3 hours. By the time I landed, the protests were one of the most peaceful in Thailand, and people were making fun of the protests because people were handing each other water and food was coming through, and it was like if every protest could be like that, it would be so civilized and so humane. And I had landed, I was going through immigration, and I had asked the information desk about taxis, and they said no, there's no taxis in that area, you have to take the SkyTrain. And I'm not comfortable taking that. I just don't.
We have a caller. Hello, this is Jules and Rajkumari. May I have your first name, please?
Yes, it's Julie.
Hi, Julie. How can I help you? How can one of us help you this evening?
I'm not sure exactly how to ask the question. My question is about those of us who are sensitive to those around us. And today it seems that there are so much extremes to people's emotions and how they're expressing themselves. And I know I have manifested a protection of weight to protect myself from emotionally trying situations. And I was just wondering, when you were talking about how to bring yourself into the situation, how do you protect yourself without manifesting something that's going to be detrimental to you?
Who are you asking, Julie? Rajkumari or Jules?
Oh, I guess I'm asking you both of you.
Do you want to go ahead, Rajkumari?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a great answer for that. You know, at my highest, I was 249 pounds. And now I'm 160. So I would resonate with emotional eating with you right now, absolutely. And you know, I think the key is to really explore what it is that you're experiencing behind where it is that you feel safe. Right? There's a value in having this experience. This experience may be outdated, but there's still some part of you that has allowed this to be and continues to be valuable. So the question then becomes, if this is no longer something I wish to experience, then I have to discover what that value is and then kind of do an Indiana Jones move where he, you know, takes the jewel and switches it with the bag of sand. Replace the old value with a new value. And I'm going to bet that choice point is going to be where the fear is. Might that resonate at all?
It does. And when you said to make the choice, I think I'm at the point where I'm not sure I've made that choice yet. It's something that I would like to attain, but I think that the fear is so great of what is on the other side of that that keeps me in my space, my fat suit, so to speak,
mm-hmm,
that cushioned,
mm-hmm,
comforting place.
Yeah. And can we just take a moment and really honor? I'm getting really emotional here. Can we just really honor? I mean, this is your phrase, the fact that can we really honor, you know, and really say thank you and have gratitude for the benefits that this has in the past provided for you? I mean, there's a beauty and an elegance that you have really crafted so amazingly to protect yourself. And so, you know, without moving forward just yet and to really honor the boundaries that you have and the insights that you have of yourself before deciding to take that step.
Yes, I guess I never looked at it that way. In fact, I have a lot of fear right now that I can feel is coming from my abdomen area. I can just physically feel the terror in me of leaving that space. So I guess if I look at it from a place of what you're saying, honoring and looking at how I had created this way to protect myself, and I've done it very successfully, that could give me the courage to look past that and find another way to protect myself that is also very successful without moving too quickly, because that's that really is terrifying for me.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that you named it, you know. I'm going to just make a presupposition here, and if it doesn't resonate, please say so. But maybe there's also some elements of shame that are kind of woven to your experience. And what you're doing right now is having a phenomenal experience around having the vulnerability and stepping into the courage. And I think that is the antidote to shame, is being vulnerable and using the catalyst of courage and the partnership of vulnerability to dissolve the shame so that you can find the space to make the decision to choose to move forward and have a different experience. And it's beautiful. It's amazing.
And I would like to say that it was a huge vulnerability, I'm certain, for you to make this phone call and share. That shows me that you've made a huge step in your journey by just sharing that, because that's a very vulnerable place to be.
Well, thank you for saying that. I think that the actor that just recently passed yesterday really hit me in a way that I didn't realize. And I know that, you know, with addictions, it really affects us who are sensitive, and we are trying to protect ourselves in any way, shape, or form that we can. And just, you know, hearing about him, I can resonate and relate to those feelings of insecurity and things that drive you to addiction, whereas he was a great man and had these great talents, but, you know, when we look at ourselves, we just don't feel that way, and we go to a place of protection. So I thank you
Absolutely.
For saying that. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Julie, for calling in, and please don't hesitate to call one of us, and, you know, we'll work on things together. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, thank you. You're welcome. Thank you. I really appreciate your time and sharing that with me. I will take it to heart and move forward with that. I appreciate it. Thank you, ladies.
You're
Bye-bye.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, Raj Kumari, that was wonderful. Thank you.
Pleasure.
It feels to me like it's time for maybe a closing here, maybe a little bit of meditation, and do you have any last words you'd like to share?
What's the value in staying where you are when you want to be somewhere else?
That's a good question. Wow. What's the value of staying where you are when you want to be somewhere else? Can you answer that?
Yeah, give me a call. And I'll work with you one-on-one.
All right. Because I couldn't answer it when you asked. So, again, your website is argrin, argrin.com.
No, it's not. It's
no?
argrien.com.
Oh, say that again one more time.
argrien.com.
I-E-N. I apologize. I apologize. Yes, and I thank you for sharing with us, and your insights your work is phenomenal, and I know it's going to take off. It already has, and I encourage you to come back and join us, please, very soon.
Absolutely. It would be a great honor.
Okay. Have a wonderful evening. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, we are going to close out our show. Thank you for joining us. This is Destiny by Divine Radio. And we are bringing all that is into everything that we do. We welcome people to call in. On the next program, I will be doing readings the last 10 minutes of the program, which will be airing on February 17th at 4 p.m. Pacific time. I will take three or four people and we'll do readings. I'm not certain who the guest will be, but watch the website and we'll have that in a few days. Thank you very much, and blessings to all.